Blog Talk Radio.
Are you due for a relationship makeover? If you had the power to wave a magic wand, would you use it to improve your relationship? Well, there may be some hope. You're about to embark upon a journey that may prove to be vital in improving your relationship, whether it be with your spouse, significant other, children, co-worker, family, friends, or even yourself. A journey that if you simply open your mind to desiring a positive change in your relationship by listening to this show, it just might happen. You're about to take a journey into the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. Warning, the show can be contentious.
Welcome to this edition of the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. I'm your host. I'm Dr. Jesse Walker. I'm going to be with you for the next 60 minutes. As usual, my same speech, we have a great show planned for you tonight, and I'm really not kidding about that. We have a really good show planned for you tonight. Calling from where we are in North Florida, it's very nice here. I'm overlooking the water, and I'm just so grateful, and I hope everybody's safe out there. So we've got a great show planned for you tonight. I just hope that you all will join us and tune in tonight and participate. Let me go to the phone lines right now and bring in my co-host, Ms. Camilla Cross, who has been a faithful co-host for me for, I believe it's just over a year and a half, but I'm sure her memory is a lot better than mine. Ms. Cross, thank you for joining us this evening. How are you? Something happened. Okay, we lost Ms. Cross. All right, she'll be back in momentarily. We've got a great show planned for you tonight. We're expecting a featured guest that's going to be joining us. We'll wait for her to call in, and she's going to press 1 on her dial. So we've got a very special guest that will be joining us tonight as well. I trust that everybody out there is doing well and you're staying safe despite these the situations that we're faced with. I just hope that people are not. I know that they're talking about opening up again real soon, and I'm hoping that people are not jumping out there to get so involved that is causing them to jeopardize their health and well-being. So I think that's very important that we need to take stock on that. So I'm hoping that you all are safe. Let's go ahead at this time and bring in, we're waiting for Ms. Cross, but let's go ahead and bring in, she's back with us now. All right, Ms. Cross, welcome to the show.
Good evening. I'm so sorry my call dropped. Good evening.
Okay. Yes. Ms. Cross, we've got a great show planned tonight. And, I'm just so excited because I'm here overlooking some water and it's a nice breeze and I can hear the ducks and birds. And, I mean, it's just really, when you get a chance to just be still and tune in to God's natural planet, it is, let me tell you something, it's so peaceful and it's healing. And so I want people to know that. It's peaceful and it's healing. But go ahead, we've got a big show tonight. We've got a very special guest that's going to be joining us, and she's waiting to come in now. Ms. Reed is going to be, she's back with us again by popular demand. So go ahead, Ms. Cross, if you would, give your commercial. And we're excited.
Oh, yeah. I hope everyone is doing well and keeping safe out there. Again, I'm Camilla Cross. I am a certified anger management specialist. I am a master's level social worker. And at this point, I'm offering services. You can visit my website at www.yourworthispriceless.com. I definitely would like to work with anyone who's wanting to assist with stress management, anger management, conflict resolution. I'm definitely open. You can text me. My number is 954 825-8500. You know, right now, unfortunately, you know, a lot of people are going through a lot of stressful times, and it's just in regards to knowing how to appropriately handle those feelings. So, you know, we're here for you. I'm hoping everybody's safe, everybody's learning some effective coping skills to get through what we're going through. But, you know, it's not going to last always. It's temporary.
Right, right. You're absolutely right. And we're certainly hoping that we get through this sooner than later. And so I think it comes down to us taking precautions on our own end to safeguard ourselves and our family. So let's go ahead now and bring in our featured guest for the evening, Ms. Novia Reed, who's back by popular demand. Ms. Reed, welcome back to the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. You're live.
Hi, Dr. Walker. Hi, Ms. Cross. Good night, everyone. How are you? Happy Thursday.
Hello, Novia. I hope you're well.
Hi. I'm doing as great as can be. How are you?
I'm doing well. Good to hear from you.
You too. Good
yes.
to be back. Thanks, Dr. Walker, for the invitation.
Of course, of course. You're popular to be on our show. Why don't you tell our listening audience about you and your products and services that you provide? I see you on social media all the time, and I have to stop and actually look and get some inspiration. So go ahead and let our audience know who you are.
Well, hi again, everyone. I am Novia Reed. I am a licensed clinical social worker, and currently I am providing individual family and couples counseling in Pembroke Pines and also by telehealth, which is video. You know, so if you are currently, I'm a doctoral level student as well, so I'm licensed to provide therapy, but I'm advancing myself. So I'm doing a doctoral program in marriage and family therapy, and my specialization is couples therapy. And I know that since the pandemic, you know, a lot of couples have been facing ending their relationships and a lot of trauma. No, it's true.
No,
it's
I
so
know.
True.
We talked about it on the show previously.
Yes. So, you know, a lot of couples are facing it. And one of the things somebody said, you know, it's that really that one of the difficulties is that couples are being faced to see each other in a way that they've never really seen each other before. And they're being faced to or confronted with spending time and a lot of challenges that they're probably not used to facing together. So to all the couples out there, there is help. There's hope. If you need my services, I'm in Pembroke Pines, and I'm doing services by video as well. And I also see individuals and families. So for anyone, the consultation is free. The issues I address range from infidelity, communication, et cetera. But you can get more details on the website, Cornerstone of Change, or you can contact me by 954-669-0773. Again, the number is 954-669-0773, and you can reach me there. Consultation is absolutely free. So
awesome.
That's it for now.
All right, awesome. We've got a powerful story tonight as well. Tonight's topic is, who am I? Who am I? I know you've got your theorists and a lot of these people that talk about psychodynamics. They talk about self-help. They talk about evaluating oneself. They talk about all of these issues that deal with the inner person. Abraham Maslow, he talks about his hierarchy of need. Well, you know, he's deceased now, but they considered him to be the father of modern-day psychology, and he talked about his hierarchy of need. So there's a lot of stuff that's going on, and tonight, you know, it centers around some of that. Who am I? And it's based on science and psychology and tells us that there are three ways in which we're viewed: the way we see ourselves, the way others see us, and the way that we are. So before I get to the story in a couple of minutes, I want to just touch base, start with Ms. Cross and then Ms. Reed. Ms. Cross, I want to ask you, what are your thoughts on the dynamics of who am I? Have you ever wondered, you look in the mirror and say, well, who am I? You know, who am I really? You know, based on, you know, the psychology of things, how other people see me, how I see myself, how I really might be.
Yes, definitely. You know, I remember having that conversation at different points of my life. a big part of developing and finding yourself, you do question who you are, what your values are, what your morals are, you know, what your stuff, you know, all of the, some of your sacrifices, all of that stuff plays into the development of who you actually are. So, you know, I know it's going to be so interesting. It's going to be a lot to learn with, you know, talking about the actual self and the odd self and, you know, psychology and getting that deep into it. Because sometimes it definitely is at a level to where sometimes we perceive ourselves in one way, and the world sees a totally different person, you know.
Right.
And I think
right.
that's when it becomes a problem, you know. But I think as we develop, as we mature, and I won't even say with age, because I think it's levels of maturity and acceptance in terms of our, you know, the blessings of who we are as well as our faults, that we kind of develop a more realistic idea of who we are and how the world sees us.
Uh-huh. And, you know, Ms. Reed, switching over to you now, there's a lot of people, Maya Angelou and a lot of others, who philosophers who've come along to say, who am I? I know why the caged bird sings and the poetic justices and injustices that go on. You know, the poetry, some people express themselves through poetry. Who are we really? I know that we're these homo sapiens, and we just feel, what does that mean? Who are we?
I think that question is going to differ from person to person. And I think when you answer that question, it's really who or what you tie your identity to. Some people tie their identity to Christ, to God. Some people tie their identity to their parents or to their careers. And, you know, I was talking to someone the other day, and, you know, I've asked myself this question: if I stripped away my titles, if I stripped away my education, if I stripped away that I was a daughter or a sister or anything, like who would I say Novia was? And, you know, it kind of really challenged me to really ask myself, besides things and titles, who am I? And I really had to search a core and find the answer in my values, in my creator, in my potential. And I think that question is just really going to depend on who you tie yourself to or what you tie yourself to. But that question is also shaped from childhood, from what our parents tell us and from what we've heard from the caretakers who were around us the most, from what our teachers told us. And so as we grow older, as we become wiser, as we have certain experiences, that answer will change. And so it differs, but I think overall it depends on, like I said, who you tie your identity to, and it evolves. But the overall goal is to be able to tie yourself, you know, not to things or to other people, but your character, your values, your aspiration, and who you strive to become. And personally, my opinion, you know, to Christ. So.
Okay. Awesome. Awesome. I want you all to stand by. We're going to go into our story. But also, when we come out of the story at some point, we're going to look at environment as well to find out if environment has a tendency to influence us. Does the environment have a tendency on who we may have started out and ultimately become? Does environment have an opportunity to influence us? You know, so we're going to get into that. And tonight's story, if you're just joining us, tonight's topic is, who am I? And it's based on how other people see us, how we see ourselves, and who we may be. And tonight's characters are, you really want to learn their names, Victoria and Wilberto. Victoria and Wilberto. And we're going to get right into them now. And also, while we're waiting for the story to come up, we're going to ask that you all send in, if you have comments, send in your comments, if you want to be able to speak to the topic tonight, whether it's the story or you want to speak to some of the comments, make sure you press, or you want to speak to Ms. Cross or Ms. Reed, press 1 on your dial so you'll get into the queue. All right, Victoria and Wilberto, they've been friends since elementary school. They're both now in their mid-20s and find their platonic friendship is tapering off. The reason for the change is because Wilberto's girlfriend does not particularly care for Victoria, because she feels that Victoria acts as if she's all that. And I'm sure you all have heard that expression before. You know, she acts as if she's all that. There is no dispute that Victoria is beautiful. I mean, I got to repeat that again. Victoria, and all of my stories are inspired by true stories. The names, of course, are always changed to protect the innocent. Victoria is beautiful, intelligent, witty, proud, and yet she's arrogant. Now, of course, Roberto defends Victoria to great extreme, and this does not rest well with his girlfriend. Now, some of the issues that Roberto's girlfriend has shared with him about Victoria includes things that Wilfredo actually has told Victoria about herself from his perspective over the past several years. Now, Victoria, for whatever reason, does not agree with Roberto and insists that she is a great person with a pleasant personality. Somehow or other, Roberto tends to tolerate her as his friend. Now, here are some issues about Victoria that she can't seem to see within herself. She can't see these. Now, remember, science tells us there are ways that other people see us, the way we see ourselves, and the way that we may be, which is oftentimes what we don't see. Now, number one, she carries herself as if she's better than anyone else. She actually carries herself around like that. Number two, she talks down to people. She doesn't talk with you. She talks at you, and she talks in a demeaning way to people. Number three, she feels her beauty is a gift, and others are not so fortunate. She actually feels that her beauty is a gift. Number four, she does not care about other people's views or opinions about her character. Number five, she is not well received or liked by other females in particular. Number six, when guys get to know her a little bit, they distance themselves from her because of her arrogance. Number seven, family and friends have tried over the years to tell her how they see her, but she insists she doesn't care because she feels other people are either jealous or losers. This is how Victoria feels. Number eight, she acts as though she does not need anyone in life. Number nine, she feels because of her beauty, she will have opportunities afforded her that others will not have. And number 10, she gloats in knowing that men strain their necks to look at her even when they are with their significant other. Recently, she got into a very serious altercation with Roberto's presence of Roberto, which the girlfriend told her about herself and threatened Roberto that if he did not cut friendship ties with Victoria, she would cut ties with him. Roberto appears to be Victoria's only true friend. And the question that I start out with tonight, Ms. Cross, how should Roberto deal with the threat from his girlfriend to cut ties with him? How should he really deal with that threat? I mean, his girlfriend is like, if you're going to tolerate this woman and her foolishness, I'm just cutting off from you. What do you think, Ms. Cross?
Well, it sounds, I can see that being something that's intolerable. You know, it sounds like Victoria, you know, the first thing I'm thinking for someone to behave like this, that's some insecure, underlying insecurities. People don't just behave like that unless you're trying to mask something else. There's something else going on. You know, automatically when I see people, you know, with this narcissistic type personality, I'm like, what kind of trauma, what kind of ugly duckling stage did you go through to where now your mindset to the world, you know, there was no humbling moment, you know. So now I'm like, what's the whole background of that? You know, I can see that being hard, though, because maybe genuinely Wilfredo is able to see something in his best friend that other people can't see. And I know, but there are people who tend to look for the good and see the good in the person nobody else likes, you know. So he's just genuinely trying to be a good friend, but now he has to kind of look at it like, you know, is it worth me losing this relationship that I have? You know, relationship, we don't know the extent of the relationship, but for him to have to choose, I feel like is unfair, but at the same time, like, this young lady looks like she is sabotaging what he's building. And she seems like she kind of sabotaged, from what you're saying, she might sabotage a little bit of everything she touches. So something is going on with Miss Victoria.
Well, she says that other people, in their opinions, they kind of, they're either jealous or they're losers. And I mean, and I'm going to switch over to... You know, there are some people, and a legal term is affluent behavior, and it's also a psychology term, but it's like the people have done something for so long that they're not even aware that they're doing something so wrong. Ms. Lee, let's bring you in here.
She's deflecting. You know, sometimes people behave like that so that you don't look at them. You know what I mean? So before you can really get your eyes big enough to see who they really are, they're going to, you know, it's some underlying things going on with poor Victoria. It's some, you know, I realize people like that that are usually over arrogant, over cocky. At least in my experience, there if you get deep into it, there's some underlying trauma. Sometimes there's some levels of insecurity. Anything that bruises their ego, they're falling off the back end.
All right, let's bring Miss Reed in. Miss Reed, I mean, could it be that, I mean, here, and we're going to go to Alabama, phone line is Alabama in a moment, and we're already starting to receive comments into the studio. I mean, Muhammad Ali was, people called him cocky. They called him arrogant. But but Muhammad Ali backed up his word. he backed it up oftentimes. So, Miss Reed, is there like a difference between being arrogant, cocky, or confident? I mean, here it is. Can Victoria just be perceived as being a confident woman? I mean, extremely beautiful. And yes, she will get opportunities afforded to her that a lot of other people who may not be as appealing or attractive will not get. That's a fact of life.
That's a fact of life, true. You know, you do have people who believe that. And we're gifts from God. Like, I don't have an issue with God, you know, said we're fearfully and wonderfully made. So I believe that we should believe that we are beautiful and fearfully and wonderfully made and that we're a gift from God. However, she seems to tread that a little bit more deeper. And I agree with what Ms. Cross said. There is underlining things and roots that she has not dealt with. Now, as far as Wilberto goes,
uh-huh.
I think he definitely has to weigh, okay, what am I willing to lose
right.
in this relationship with Victoria? Now, he can try to possibly set some boundaries with her, you know, and see if that works with, you know, the relationship with his girlfriend. I wouldn't necessarily be readily to just cut her off. To that point, it's a girlfriend. I don't know how long they've been dating, how serious the relationship. So that's things that he has to really evaluate. Like, what am I going to lose if I maintain this relationship with Victoria? And am I willing to pay that cost? And so that's a question he has to ask himself. If he still feels like, you know, this is a relationship I want to try to maintain, then it's going to be very important for him to set some boundaries in place. Now, if these are reasonable boundaries that Victoria chooses not to honor, then I think that his decision becomes a little bit more clearer. Because if you have a friend, it's different if she has her ideas and thinks people, you know, are better than her. That's a whole different thing. But if as a friend and you cannot respect reasonable boundaries that your friend is implementing, then that means you don't respect that person. And so that's a decision that he would have to make. But I think if they've been friends for years, the truth of the matter is sometimes we have friends when we were younger, and who knows, like, what she was, you know, experiencing, you know, in childhood that caused them to connect. And so it may be harder for Wilberto just to let that friendship go because he knows what she's been through, and he sees the good in her that others may not get to see. But at some point, you know, what I've learned in life that there may come a point in life, no matter how the good you may see in others, if their toxicity is starting to impact you, your mental health, your welfare, your relationship, you have to put some things in place. So that would be my response to that.
Okay, we're going to ask you all to stand by. Let's go to Alabama. We're going to go to 205, and then we're going to go to South Florida, 786-985. Let's go to Alabama first, 205-908. You're live on the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. I mean, I'm looking at Muhammad Ali was a confident guy. Victoria here, I mean, she's allowed, in my opinion, to control, indirectly control Wilberto by whomever he dates. Then she will have that kind of impact on him throughout his life. Let's go to 205-908. Who do we have on the phone line this evening?
This is Jack. Right.
Jack, welcome back, Jack. Thanks for joining us, Jack. Go ahead.
Well, if he allowed Victoria to dictate his life, then he might be insecure. Now, to be honest with you, she did. I mean, when you first told the story, I thought about that, Victoria. I said, now she is insecure because all those 10 things that you read off, that is a narcissist
right.
behavior and all. It's the same way
right.
that that man sitting in the White House, he acts the same way because he's going to turn whatever you put on him, he's going to turn it on everybody else. That's the exact same way that he acts. So as you were sharing all those 10 things, I said this man fits every last one of those identifying marks. All those identifying marks is the president. That's exactly who he is at all. But Muhammad
okay.
Ali, what he was doing, he was selling tickets. He was selling tickets.
Okay.
I mean, he did all that talking, but he was, he, like you said, he backed it up. But he was selling tickets. He was promoting what he's doing. Now, he was a little cocky, too. He was cocky. And just like, I don't know what you saw, The Last Dance, and Michael Jordan the same way, too. There's three guys that he's never going to seem to make amends with. Charles Barkley is one, Horace Grant, and I forgot who the third one was, but he was very cocky. They didn't particularly care for him either because of his arrogance. See, when people get arrogant like that, they seek to please themselves, and it's hard to get to them because they are high and mighty now. They're self-exalted now, and the Bible talks about that. He that humbled himself shall be
exalted.
He that exalted right. himself shall be abased. He's going to
be
lowered and all. So
okay.
that's what I'm seeing happening here with Victoria, and he does need to make a decision. He does need to make a decision. He's a man enough. He should be man enough to make a decision on his own. He doesn't need her to tell him exactly what to do. And then he should sit down and have a conversation with her and have a conversation with Victoria, too. And if she continues down that road, then you need to let her go.
But I mean, think about it, Jack. Just you know, maybe from a male's perspective, your perspective, if you're hanging with someone, let's say, you know, they're in their mid-20s, he's hanging with this girl that he's had from his childhood, you know, elementary school years, and they've been friends. He tolerates her, and now he's dating this other woman, and the story didn't give account of how long they've dated. But, I mean, wouldn't you think that this woman, Victoria, could have that influence if this was his wife? I mean, if she's this powerful and obviously that beautiful, and they're not having – they have a platonic – a totally platonic relationship, but wouldn't you think that, I mean – he would be within his right to say, well, listen, I can't let this woman jeopardize. A true friend will always be there. I can't afford
right.
to let her jeopardize this relationship that has potential to perhaps go further. But I think, let's look at the girlfriend for a moment. Isn't she within her right to say, well, listen, I'm not going to tolerate this here. You hanging with your friend, acting like this here, and I'm a woman. I feel that I'm just as attractive. I'm not going to deal with this. Come on, Jack. What do you think?
I think she's perfectly within her rights. Now, Roberto may kind of like Victoria. There might be some, even though you say it's platonic and everything, they may kind of have, you know, a liking for each other and all deep down inside. It just never has come out to be that point and all because they've been friends for forever. And now all of a sudden, now he has a girlfriend and she's looking at him. And having him looking at her while he's walking with his girlfriend, the girlfriend was perfectly within her rights to tell him that either you cut the ties with her or either we're going to go our separate ways. I definitely agree with that.
Wow. We're going to ask you to stand by, Jack. Let's go to the phone lines again, South Florida, 786-9855. Who do we have on the air with us and welcome?
Miss X, how are you, Dr. Walker and company?
Good, Miss X.
Hello.
Ms. X.
Hello.
Hi. Ms. X, give us your thought on this here. I mean, are people insecure because they are in the presence of someone as beautiful as Victoria? I mean, it's a fact of life. Victoria goes on a car lot looking for a car. If they're male salesmen, and even some of the females, they're going to be attracted to her beauty and want and just look at her and assume all sorts of things that this woman is classy, she's beautiful. They're going to give her favor when they might not give other people favor. Why is that?
Well, I think that beauty does come with some favors. But I do believe that if beauty is the sum total of whom you are, then you have to be pretty shallow. It does get you in places, and it gets you opportunities and things a lot of times that maybe the average person does not have access to. But I think if that's the sum total of who a person is, then I think that they're quite shallow in a lot of other ways, maybe. I don't know, because beauty doesn't necessarily mean that you're not smart either.
Right.
And that's where I differ with the Donald Trump analogy.
And how do you differ? Oh, it doesn't mean that you're smart. Okay.
Yeah, I think that I think that Victoria does not sound like a person who is not intelligent. The
I see what you're saying. I see what you're saying. All right, let's bring Miss. We're going to actually stand by Miss X. Let's go back to Miss Cross a moment. Miss Cross, I mean, here we are. We're looking at a beautiful. I mean, and I want to bring Jackie in a moment. When you know, as a man, I'm guilty of that. When the woman is, I mean, extremely beautiful, you tend to give her more attention than you would just the ordinary. And I'm not trying to demean anyone, because I agree with what was said earlier. I think we're all beautiful, and I think beauty is in the eye of the beholder as well. I agree with that philosophy. But there are some people that you just, these men strain their necks to look at her, and she's aware of this. Ms. Cross, could other people be jealous of that and start to make assumptions that she's not all that, even though she just walks into a room?
Well, you know, at the end of the day, it may be some people that are, some people may be jealous of her, admire her beauty. But
right.
I'm thinking, like, in regards to Wilfredo and his girlfriend, it sounds like they had some type of conflict. And those mm-hmm. are boundaries that should have never been crossed. Because even, you know, I have, for example, I have a male friend. If my friend is in a committed relationship where he's happy and this person, you know, even regardless, you still need to respect the relationship that he has. And as a friend, it is totally inappropriate of me to interfere with their relationship or cause conflict to where now she's questioning, you know, she's pretty much giving him an ultimatum between me being with his friend or him being with her. Like, that is where the lines have crossed. She could be, you know, in regards to their relationship, this is where there's a problem. Even if she has this personality trait to where she's a little above and beyond, she's a little extra, is what, you know, in my culture, they'll say she's a little extra. Hey, we all know people like that. We may have even crossed the line a little bit ourselves. But at
right.
the end of the day, the biggest part of the situation that is wrong is that she's causing conflict in their relationship. You know, and it sounds like it's not just because the girlfriend may be jealous of her, it's because of the girl's behavior to where the level of respect is not there. So now it's like she's putting him, Wilfredo, in a dilemma to where Wilfredo, you know, and Miss Novia said it, he has history with her. So there may be a lot, it's a lot deeper. He may know a lot more than her. He may know the real her, you know, not who she portrays to the world. You know, he may know the real, humbler, vulnerable, better person than what the world sees. So now he's in conflict because he knows who she is, who she really is, and he's able to see not just what the world sees. But his girlfriend
right.
can't see who she is. The girlfriend only sees the overly extra girl who is his best friend.
Okay. All right. We're going to actually stand by Ms. Cross. Jack, let's bring you in a second, and then Ms. Reed, we're going to come back to you in a moment. Jack, let me just ask you, and I know I'm guilty of it, has there been a time throughout the years where some beautiful woman came along and you were in a position of decision-making and you tend to, you gave her kind of a pass to come on in when normally somebody else may not have gotten your attention? I'm certainly guilty of that, Jack, on numerous occasions, and I'm not so proud of that now, but I just wondered if it's ever happened to you.
You said gave her a pass or said something to her?
Yeah, not make a pass at her, but gave her a pass to say, well, you gave her the attention because she was so, so beautiful.
No, go ahead.
No, that's it. You gave her the attention because of her beauty. It's like, my goodness, man, this must be an angel from because she's down here. Heaven must be missing this angel.
I didn't say that part.
No, I'm saying myself.
Like you said, I said that.
This woman is so beautiful.
Right,
she's got to be from heaven.
Right, because beauty is in the eyes of the beholder. You know, I don't care how attractive you are on the outside. I look at personality. That's me now. That's how I am. You know, your character build up or your character makeup, it's what, to me, is what it's all about. Because you can act one way, you know, when you're with me or out in public, then you can act a different way when you're at home or whatever and all. So to me, it's about your character and all. So yes, I've seen some attractive women. I've seen some attractive women in the world and all. But then I don't say too much to them because a lot of times when they're so attractive like that, they kind of like stuck on there. They got it stuck all on their shoulder and all. And they think that they're all of that, as you mentioned, in a bag of chips and all. And they're really not. I mean, that's not everybody. Now, not all beautiful people are that way. Because you got some men that act that same way as well. They think they're all of that, you know, because they're kind of muscular and, you know, they're halfway look decent and all of that. You know, I'm thinking about, you know, when I was young, I probably felt that way. I probably thought that I was all that myself, but I wasn't.
Right.
But now I had personality. I had personality. So that's how I look at it with good people and all. If you got the right personality, you know, you might not be all that attractive. But if you got the right type of personality and all, that's going to make you beautiful right along and all. But as far as this young lady here, with all if all those 10 of those things that you said is true, she acts just like that man sitting in the White House, because that's the same way that he acts all the time, the way he carries on. That's my opinion. That's my opinion. Mm-hmm.
So Jack, I mean, I feel I had to mature ultimately to that point of just recognizing that it was more about character, because my teenage years and even in the years of being in the 20s, it's like, if that woman is beautiful, those were the ones that I wanted to go after, was those beautiful women, because if I'm going to take a woman on my shoulder, I want to have her as a beautiful woman. I don't want to go home and be mad at the woman at home because I saw this beautiful, this knocked down, dragged down, beautiful woman. All you got to think about.
You know, there's a record that says, if you want to be happy for the rest of your life, you better make a beautiful woman your wife. That's right. If you want to be happy. But I'm serious.
It said, don't make a beautiful woman your wife. It said, don't, right? It said, if you want to be happy for the rest of your life, don't make a beautiful woman your wife.
I think it was the other way around. You better make a beautiful woman your wife.
Right. No, it said don't. It said don't make a beautiful woman your wife. I mean, I could be wrong, too, because I'm thinking that
I'll check it out.
If you got a beautiful woman, everybody wants her.
Right. I'll check it out for you. I'll check it out. Mm-hmm. Maybe
okay,
before
thanks.
You get off. Mm-hmm.
Okay, Miss Reed, we're going to bring you in, but just before we do, let's bring in Miss X for a second. Miss X, have you heard that song before that Jack mentioned? If you want to be happy for the rest of your life, don't make a beautiful woman your wife. Which one?
Yes, I heard it in terms of the fact that then you've got to really worry about everybody else wanting her. But I think a lot of times we put too much value, we place too much on a person's look, because every beautiful woman is not, what was her name, Veronica? It's not, or
Victoria.
Has the attributes.
Victoria. Miss X, did you forget her name because she's beautiful? I'm just asking.
I haven't seen her. I don't know. Her name began with a V, and that's what I remember.
Okay.
Victoria.
Okay.
But the thing is, there are some beautiful women who really are, you know, very shy, and they don't really see themselves the way others they appear to others. You know,
sometimes
we put that value on them because they're pretty and we assume that they are a certain way, when actually a lot of times they are not. There are a lot of beautiful women who are, you know, really shy, or men think sometimes because they're pretty, they won't even respond to them, so they don't talk to them. And they may be sitting at home waiting on somebody to ask them for a date. So beauty is not always, what it's, chalked up to be.
Right. Exactly. Because when I've met a lot of beautiful women, that was the sentiment that they expressed. They say, a lot of men won't even approach me. And I've learned this early in life. And I say, well, you know what? When these women used to tell me that, I say, I'm going after every beautiful woman. I don't mean I was trying to have them all at the same time, but I'm saying if I'm going to approach a woman, I might as well approach a beautiful one, because there's sometimes what you said, Ms. X, they're waiting for someone to come along to them, because other men are thinking, oh, she's not going to talk to me. Those were the ones I wanted
or
to talk to and find that, you know.
She's already taken.
Right, exactly. And it was assumption, and they were wrong. Ms. Reed, let's bring you in. Ms. X, we'll get back to you in a moment. We're going to ask all of y'all to stand by. We've got to take some of the comments. We're 18 minutes away from closing the show out tonight. Ms. Reed, I mean, yes, beauty is in the eye of the beholder. So if I can make it literal, why not?
The population will get this virus, so he wants Brazil's economy to keep.
Ms. Reed?
Oh, I'm sorry. I heard background noise. So I thought it was somebody
speaking.
Too. I don't know
what that was. Okay.
Yeah, okay. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yeah, so beauty is in the eye of the beholder.
I'm here.
So if that's the case, why not just choose beauty if that's, you know, the literal beauty? I mean, Victoria here, I understand she's quite arrogant, but she's been this way for so long. Is it possible that she's responsible for her attitude and behavior?
She's responsible, but again, like, this is who she shows the world. We don't know, like, typically, like Ms. Cross said, you know, and there are so many quotes about masks that we all wear masks, but at some point the masks come off. And typically
right.
the mask may come off when we're alone. And so this is what she shows the world, but it doesn't mean that that's who she actually is. And a lot of times people face internal battles because of who we're so accustomed to them being a certain way that if they change, they may feel they lose a part of themselves. And so we don't know, who knows where she, Victoria, is. But, yes, beauty is in the eye of the beholder. So, I mean, granted, you can say somebody is – it's okay to pursue a beautiful person. It's – oh, if you think that person is beautiful, it's okay to pursue them. But I think one of the things is that we shouldn't get lost and consumed by outward beauty because
right.
there is certain things as inner beauty. And inner beauty, there's nothing – you can't really put a price tag on that because outer beauty will eventually fade. And so what's going to be left above everything else will be inner beauty and character. So there's no problem in if you see somebody's beautiful and you want to pursue that, no problem. Do your thing. Just make sure you look for something else. And Barry Black said, you know, when he was praying for a wife, he said he asked God for her to be pretty on the inside and pretty on the outside. So you get the best of both worlds. So.
Amen. Amen. Jack, let's bring you back in just for a second, and then we're going to go to some of the comments. And it was Jimmy Soul that said, if you want to be happy
yeah,
for the rest of your life.
I just saw it. I just saw it.
Go ahead, Jack. I'll let you say it. Go ahead.
No. You're absolutely right. He said that never make a pretty woman your wife. In other words, you want to marry an ugly woman so you keep people away from it. I don't agree with that. I don't agree with that. I like what the young lady just said about what Bear Black said. I mean, you want her to be attractive on the outside and you want her to be attractive on the inside. Because that on the inside part is dealing with her character. Because the Bible
right.
says that man looks on the outward appearance, but God looks on the heart. So to
absolutely.
Me, you get the best of both worlds. You get the best of
absolutely.
Both worlds when she has a beautiful character on the inside, and then, of course, on the outside, she's attractive. I had a friend of mine to say that he was looking for a wife, and he was looking for a beautiful wife. Now, he found some, but they weren't all that attractive, so he wasn't attracted to them. He wanted a young lady that was beautiful on the outside, then he'll deal with the inside later on. That's what he told me.
Right,
mm-hmm.
right. Now, I have a, Jack and I, right, and Jack, I have a, and even all women and all men can be attractive. It's in the eye of the beholder, right? Is that what you said
yes,
before?
Yes, I agree.
Yeah.
I agree.
Right.
Yeah.
And Jack, I have a brother, and I want the rest of you all to know, I have a brother who told me once, he said, now, be careful if you, he said this when we were young. If you marry,
mm-hmm.
you get with a big fat, I'm not putting anybody down. We were teenagers at the time, and my brother's
uh-huh.
older than I am. He was saying that if you get with a fat woman, you know, then chances are you're gonna be mad if there's an opportunity to get another woman that comes along because that's not big, and you'll be mad at yourself and mad at that woman. Jack, what do you think my brother was trying to say? You know, cause, and then
well,
he went on to say. The only thing a big woman can do is show me where the thin woman is. I mean, what was he saying to me? He probably is the one that put that in my head about the beauty.
Well, that situation happened to me because my wife is kind of small and she was small from day one. But when I was dating, I had a girlfriend at the time, and then I decided to date someone else. And then I saw both of them, and then I decided to marry my current wife. And then 10 years later, I saw that other lady that I had started dating first, and she was like 100 pounds heavier. And I said, you know what? I am so glad that I didn't do that. Because 100 pounds, I mean, the only thing she could do, the only thing I could do with her is just hold up for the police. Because that's all I was
wanted
to do. 250 pounds. I mean, what?
See, Jack, you sound like my brother. I mean, you know, that is something else. Maybe, Jack, you ever thought about it that the woman was hurting because you didn't marry her and all she could do was consume food because she was depressed?
No, because I wasn't that important, because she did get married, but I don't know how long that marriage lasted. 10 years later, I saw her. She was about 150. I said 100, but about 150 pounds heavier. And I said,
wow,
whoa.
Have mercy. Have mercy. Wow. So beauty. Oh, I'm sorry, y'all. I'm not laughing at anybody, and I'm sure Jack isn't either. But
no,
it does show that we do want something beautiful. A woman, let's bring it in. Let's tell it like it is. Ms. Claus, let's bring you back in here. Don't you want something attractive to look at and where someone will say, your husband is good looking? I mean, or would you rather hear behind closed doors that they say, I wonder what she saw in
what
him.
She got him from, or what she got him from.
Exactly. Ms. Cross, come on now, be honest.
I'm gonna be honest. I've dated, right? I've gotten the opportunity to date. My attraction towards a man is definitely, I usually do like a man who's a little bit more cocky. I do. You know what I mean? He's very confident. And sometimes it don't, you know, I'm going to be honest. He doesn't have to be tall, light-skinned. I actually like him dark. So
right.
I just think it's
okay.
About how you feel about yourself. You know what I mean? And
right.
To me, that has been what attracted me to guys. Sometimes they're not the best-looking guy in the room. You know, I've dated guys who think they're the best-looking guys in the room. And when you get to know them, they have, like, all these underlying insecurities.
There
you
go.
And I remember being so turned off because I'm like, okay, you're the light skin, pretty hair, you know, pretty hair, pretty eyes. No. And I'm, like, so turned off because a lot of time that arrogance is just not attractive. So I'd rather deal with a man, like, I kind of say I like a boss, you know, like a man who walks strong, walks confidently, who's intelligent, and who carries himself a certain way. I know with men, I'm more visual. Women, we are visual too, because I still want him to be attractive, you know, and you know, nicely built. But he doesn't have to be the idea of what society says is beautiful, is attractive. It's about what I'm attracted to.
Okay, Miss Reed, let's bring in Miss Reed. And keeping it real, let me ask you. I mean, since it is your choice. And here, if the situation were reversed, like you're in Roberto's place, and then the man had to make a decision about your friend who acts like Victoria, what would you be expected to do?
So you want me to envision me being who?
Yeah, you're in the place. In place
Who's
of Roberto, you're the woman,
okay.
And your boyfriend,
okay.
You know, you got this male friend, and your boyfriend's like, you know, this guy is, I can't handle this. What do you do? And he makes that threat to you that if you can't cut his friendship, I'm cutting it with you.
I would really have to look at how valid is his ultimatum. Like, I would have to really assess it and really say, okay, is it really coming from a place of insecurity, or is it coming from a place of, okay, he has genuine and valid concerns. And if this relationship is important to me and I see where, you know, this is a potential husband and, you know, we're heading on that track, and I'm having this conversation to my friend, because the conversation will go, you know, in the essence of, listen, I love you, I'm here for you, and I'm going to always love you and be there for you. but I need you to understand that this is a relationship I value and I want to work. And if you value me and you value my friendship like you say, I've got to discuss some boundaries with you. If he respects me and loves me as I believe he does and as a friend should, he'll oblige. Now, if he just totally disregards what I say and then intentionally, because if he's struggling with those things, which Victoria may be, if he's struggling and it's not intentional, but he may be starting to make progress towards certain strides to get better, then I can work with that. But if he intentionally just disregards and go about sabotaging, then I will probably distance myself from him because it's going beyond, you know, we've had a conversation, and now it's not just being mean to him. You're being disrespectful to me because I'm asking you and telling you that this is a relationship that I value, and you're totally disregarding what I say. So it's going deeper than my boyfriend. It's going to the point of our relationship and your value towards me. So
Exactly.
That's a good point. Very good point. Let's go to, looks like Tampa area. Let's go to 863-412. They're telling me, they're threatening me over here that we may have to do a part two on this show. Let's go to 863-412. Welcome to the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. You're live.
Hello, Dr. Walker.
Hello. Who do we have with us this evening?
This is Dennis.
Dennis, thank you for joining us.
Hi, Dennis.
Dennis, thank you.
Welcome back, Jack.
Thank you, sir. Thank you.
Yes.
Couple things. I've been listening. there are some. I listened to you talk about big women, and there are. I've met some big women that are very beautiful and secure about themselves and dressed really nice. And any man would have been happy to be with them, even over a smaller woman.
Wow.
And I was at a meeting, and a conference and they had a dance floor, and I went out there and did a little something and walked off. And then I was coming back and because I was leaving, and this big woman grabbed me and said, "You're going to dance with me before you leave."
Wow.
I kind of laughed because she frightened me because I have this fear of big women because they kind of control me. And but when she said I'm going to dance before she left, I danced because she was in control.
Right. Well, that's interesting, Dennis.
Yeah, but you know, like you said, beauty is in the eye of the beholder. There are some men that want big women. And I had a friend in Miami who mother was a big woman, and her she had an aunt that was a big woman, and I went and met the family, and the two brothers were smaller men but had big women, and the big women said, "Do you see that they like big women?" And I could only agree with them. But those two women were secure in themselves. And they knew they were big. But they knew that their husbands loved them.
Okay. All right.
So how other people or how we may proceed in seeing big women being unattractive or being not for us, they can be for other people. So
of course. Yeah, of course.
Right.
Dennis, we're going to ask you to stand by as well. Let me bring Ms. X back in. Ms. X, and I want to ask this question about Victoria. does it, Dennis, we appreciate your comments, and I ask you to stand by, does it mean that Victoria is arrogant because she does not care about other people's views or opinions about her character? Does that make her arrogant?
I think if she's of that opinion, yes.
It does?
Yeah, I think that she has allowed her beauty to go to her head. She's been getting all this attention from other people, and so therefore she feels privileged. So, yeah, I think that's where arrogance comes from.
Okay, so Ms. X, if I may ask you, and you can say you'd rather pass on that question if you like, do you really care about how people view you or their opinions about your character? Is that important to you?
It is important to me because I would hate for them to get the wrong opinion about who I think I am. Because I'm very simple. I live simply. I'm not characterized by what I have, but who I am.
Right.
And I don't think that people should be put down because, you know, they have simple ways. They're just simple. And I've had people see more in me than I see in myself, and I'm always shocked by that, and I don't know why I should be, but I am because I guess I just don't, I don't know, I don't put myself, maybe I don't think I put myself out there, but evidently they, and it's always been that way because even when I was in school, teachers always saw something that I didn't see, and they pushed, and they made me work harder because they saw it, but I didn't.
Right.
Your light.
Right.
Your light, yeah. Because a lot of times, just because what society feels is how you're supposed to be, everyone should have a feeling of how they, of loving themselves. And, you know, simple is just, if you may call it simple, it may be simple to you, but it's a value, it's a trait, it's your morals, it's more than just, you know, what's on the outside. So a lot of times we have to still love and appreciate people for what they contribute to the world. So, you know, what you're saying, it's deep, you know, the fact that they were able to see more in you, sometimes because of what someone says or someone does can throw you off in how you love yourself. And at the end of the day, it's all about how you love yourself. And it doesn't matter what I think or what Dr. Walker thinks or what Ms. Novia thinks. It's all about how you love yourself. And a lot of times that is the most attractive part of you.
Thank you.
So, okay.
I'm hearing you, and I was like, I got to give you that.
Okay, so Ms. Cross, if that's the case, okay, let's go back to the story of Victoria. And it's going to be the same question from Ms. Reed. Let's go back to the story of Victoria then. Is Victoria being arrogant because she doesn't care about other people's views or opinions based on what you just said?
The thing is, I don't think that she's being arrogant because of that. Because I feel like at some point we all say we don't care what people think. To an extent, we do.
Exactly,
but at the end of the day, it should be about how we feel about ourselves. Your level of confidence should be how strong you walk. Because even because of the thing, you know, I just, that's just how I feel. But it's not about her being arrogant because of how she feels about herself. It's okay to love yourself. I think her arrogant comes from how she makes other people feel. You don't have to be beautiful, and you can be beautiful, be confident, and a lot of times the most beautiful, confident people actually make other people feel beautiful and confident as well. You know, I make it my duty, if I see someone with their head down, hey, beautiful. Sometimes, you know, and is it always true? You know, I just like to make people, you know, I feel like it's okay to spread your beauty and your love without making someone else feel bad. That's not okay.
Right.
That's what makes you arrogant, cocky, and insecure. So that's what I feel.
Right. Ms. Cross, we're going to bring you back in for the final word. Let me go to bringing our featured guest this evening, Ms. Reed. Ms. Reed, anything else that you want to add to tonight's topic? Because they're threatening me. They'll say we're going to do a part two on this next week because there's a lot more to be shared with you all for next week with this same topic. Ms. Reed, give us your final thoughts, and then we're going to bring Ms. Crossy in to close us out.
No, I just want to encourage everyone to really ask themselves that question, like, who am I? And really just really take some time to reflect and ask themselves that question and figure out who we're based upon, because the answer to that question determines how we live and how we love each other and how successful our relationships are. And if we base our identity on insecurities and things we haven't healed from, then that can negatively impact our relationships. So I think it's worthy for us to ask ourselves this question, who am I and who do I want to be? That's my final thought.
Okay, that, and there's a twist to the story. You don't want to miss it. Next week, you don't want to miss it. Ms. Cross closes out tonight with the final thought. Who am I? Who am I?
I love it. I think Ms. Novia did an amazing job with summing that up. I think you are who you perceive yourself to be. Because at the end of the day, it's not, you cannot allow with someone's opinion of you to become your reality. You cannot do it, because nobody on this show can say that they didn't have someone say something negative about them. But at the end of the day, what did you do with that? What did you do with that judgment? That's not who. If you know who you are, you walk in your light. And the caller who's on, I forgot your name. I'm so sorry. But sometimes people see your light and you can't see it. You know what I mean? But at the end of the day, you have to walk in your light. Well, you know, tap into that. Tap into that, because everybody's beautiful and have their, you know, everybody has something to contribute to the world. We are all God's children.
Okay, amen. On that note, we are clearly out of time. We're going to, matter of fact, they just let me know that we'll pick this up either tomorrow. They're saying that they want to know if Ms. Reed is available next week. We'll do it next Thursday. If not, we'll do it tomorrow night if she's available. Ms. Reed?
I'll let you know, Dr. Walker.
Okay, all right. On that note, listen, we're clearly out of time. I want to thank Ms. Reed for being our featured guest this evening. And as
thank
always,
you.
We appreciate
thank
those
you,
of you all who have joined us. Yes, those of you all who have joined us, those of you all that we weren't able to get to tonight, please call in early, press 1 to get into the queue. The comments that have come in, you flooded us with them. We'll get to those comments more than likely next week when we go back, once we hear from Ms. Reed. All right, listen, join us here tomorrow night for your half-hour inspirational programming. Of course, if you missed tomorrow night's program, join us back here next Thursday for the Dr. Jess Walker Show. Until tomorrow night or until next Thursday, I want to say to my listening audience, good night, God bless, and thank you, God. Good night, everybody. Stay safe.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night. Bye, everyone. Good night.
Good night.